The NFL's top-ranked run defense came crashing to earth on Sunday after the Cowboys rushed for 191 yards, 157 of those from rookie running back Ezekiel Elliott.
They did an excellent job. You can't take credit away from them, but there's a lot of things that we did poor, and we got to improve on that. It is totally unacceptable, inexcusable. There's no way to say it. You know, we let them come in here and do what they wanted to do.
Defensive end Mike Daniels not happy with the loss, especially their fourth in the last seven games at Lambeau Field.
Absolutely, that's embarrassing, and it's unacceptable.
I'm Bill Scott. I'll have more from Titletown later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
Thank you, Bill. 19 minutes before 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Monday Morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat package. And he is former Senator Russ Feingal. He certainly did better on Friday night in Green Bay than the Packers did yesterday afternoon. Happy New Year, Senator Feingold.
Well, thank you. I'm not happy to have that comparison made because of the Packers. But, yeah, we felt great about the debate. You know, finally got a chance to have the comparison made about who is it that's going to really vote with and stand up for middle-income and working families. And, you know, it was a polite debate. We followed the rules. We didn't interrupt each other. But the contrast was absolutely clear about who stands with the big interests and the corporations and who stands with the families of the state. And, you know, it was great to finally have a chance to have that portrayed around the state.
Well, I watched the debate in Green Bay on Friday night, and I characterize it as a snooze fest. But I also said, No. It was refreshing. Here it was like
a refreshing snooze fest.
It was like because of what we've been seeing on the national level. Yeah. Neither of you guys accused each other of being criminals. Neither of you said that you would be thrown into jail or you would throw the opponent into jail. There were no sexual predator claims. It was really quite nice. You had your classic liberal, Russ Feingold, and your classic conservative, Ron Johnson, and you guys went at it. It's good old-fashioned political debate. That's what we like. Wisconsin nice.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I was very pleased with that. I'm sure Senator Johnson was, too, because, you know, at the end of the day, you want to have a dignified approach. You know, you think about how your parents would have felt. My father, growing up, when I was growing up in Janesville, my parents, they believed in civility. They believed in bipartisanship. And, you know, that's what people expect when you talk to them around the state. You know, I've gone to all the 72 counties last year and this year, and I can't tell you how many people walk up to me and say, we want you to work together, and we want you to be civil. And, you know, that's the way I've always done it. That's been my approach throughout my career. When I first ran for the Wisconsin State Senate in the Portage area, my opponent was 83 and I was 29. And everybody that had run against him in the past had made a big deal out of how old he was. And I didn't do that. And as a result, the editorials were really high on praise for the way we treated each other. So I think I can help bring that kind of civility and bipartisanship back if I'm elected, because I have a proven track record of doing that.
What did you think of Senator Johnson's claim that while you have made $3 million as a public servant in our state, that you don't have much to show for it?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I was hired, and that was the salary. He forgets that I was elected three times by the people of the state, and the idea that trying to make that, you know, added up over all these years is a silly game. Of course, Senator Johnson hasn't bothered to find out what I did with the people of Wisconsin over the years, because he doesn't want to know, and he doesn't get around the state to find out. So had he gotten around the state, he would have been aware of the fact that people were pleased that I helped lead the charge to completely eliminate the federal deficit from 1993 to the year 2000 on a bipartisan basis with President Clinton and Newt Gingrich and others. I was a major player to the point where people, the Republicans, teased me when I would vote. They'd say, you're this deficit hawk. You're the deficit hawk. So I consider that a major achievement. Senator Johnson doesn't get up in the northwest part of the state very much, so he doesn't hear from the veterans in places like Hayward and Rice Lake. You know, it was the veterans there who came to one of my town meetings and said, Senator, we just don't have a health care clinic here, and it's a long way down to Tolma. Can you do anything about it? I was a senator that led the charge. They got both of those clinics there. They're still there and operating. And also was one of the main players in making sure health care, or veteran centers, which are for other purposes, all other services for veterans, were created in Green Bay and Wausau and La Crosse. You know, if he had talked to the seniors in the state instead of just going on Fox News, he'd know that I wrote the first Alzheimer's disease law in the country. When I was in the state Senate, I got involved with that issue and heard that families were having a heck of a time with having to care for people 24 hours a day. I wrote that law, and then when senior care, the program that was threatening, that's a good program for seniors in our state to get affordable medicine, when that was threatened by the federal government when I was in the U.S. Senate, along with Senator Cole, I saved it. I was able to get a waiver to make sure senior care still continues. And if you're thinking about the race issues and concerns for certain communities in our state, because I've frequently been to Milwaukee and the central city of Milwaukee, I heard concerns when I was in the Senate, people talking to me, and I was listening to them about racial profiling, about being pulled over based on race, and I thought that was wrong. And I started the national effort to prohibit racial profiling, which actually President Bush and Attorney General Ashcroft were willing to join with me on. So the truth is, Senator Johnson either doesn't know what I have accomplished in the past or doesn't want to know, but here's the real point. He's saying that because it's a political game. This is about the future. This is about who's better prepared to represent the people and their concerns in 2015 and 2016. And I'm the one that's gone out and really listened to people the last 2 years, and I know, and apparently he doesn't know, that middle-income and working families feel like they're not getting a good deal, that they're not able to pay their bills. There's no chance he would make progress on that issue, and it's pretty clear that my votes would be strong on that. So this election's about the future, but that's an answer to your question.
He's former Senator Russ Feingold. He's running for his old seat against incumbent Senator Ron Johnson. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. So obviously you attempted on the debate on Friday night, and I'm sure you will tomorrow night in Milwaukee, to attach Senator Johnson and Donald Trump at the hip. And I thought that Senator Johnson had a pretty good comeback, saying that he will not defend the indefensible. But he said that you might be the only one left in America that thinks that Hillary Rodham Clinton is still trustworthy. Do you?
Well, first of all, let me say that I didn't bring this up. The first question was about Donald Trump. And the reality is he did not do a good job of addressing this, because so many other senators in this country, Republican senators, like Senator Johnson, that he serves with, have said, wait a minute, enough's enough. He is defending the indefensible.
Yeah, but do you
he's going to vote for him.
Do you
I'll get to Hillary in a minute.
Okay.
He's going to vote for him. He's going to put this completely irresponsible, inappropriate man in the White House if he can. And I think it's shameful. And I think you have to put America first. Now, look, when it comes to Hillary Clinton, here's what I said. What I said was I worked with her when she was First Lady. I worked with her when she was in the United States Senate, and I worked with her when she was Secretary of State. What I said was, in every encounter I had with her, she was reliable and trustworthy. That's what I said. And that is my personal experience. I've not had a problem. Now, that doesn't mean she hasn't made mistakes. It doesn't mean people have concerns about it. But that's exactly what I said. And to even begin to compare Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump in terms of somebody who ought to be president, to me it's a joke. The contrast is so extreme. Everybody knows Donald Trump shouldn't be president, that it's not good for America and it's not good for the world. But for partisan reasons, because Senator Johnson's trying to save his political neck, he keeps playing this game. He doesn't endorse him, but he supports him. I don't play the game.
Yeah, but
I support Hillary Clinton. I support Hillary Clinton for president.
But you've got to admit the leaked emails, John Podesta and other members of the Clinton team, has really verified and validated everything that Bernie Sanders, who was here last week campaigning with you and Elizabeth Warren, were troubled about Hillary's campaign. She has said one thing publicly and done another thing privately, and no wonder she didn't want the documents released from her speeches to Wall Street.
Well, look, I never said that this was a good thing. In fact, I'm glad that Hillary Clinton has admitted she's made mistakes here. Obviously, it's not her finest hour. It's something that shouldn't have happened. And it was an error. But that's very different than somebody who is completely irresponsible.
Yeah, but how concerned are you that Bernie Sanders supporters that were legion in this state are just not going to come out and vote for her because of that, and therefore that could affect your vote total as well?
I don't think it's going to be a major problem. I think many of those people will realize the choice is between a capable person who's made some mistakes and somebody who is incapable and incredibly irresponsible and hateful. So in the end, I believe young people, millennials and others, will vote for her, and I think it'll work out fine. She's going to win, and Trump's going to get defeated. And so I am not concerned, and I believe that Hillary Clinton realizes the error she made and certainly won't do it again.
He's Senator Russ Feingold. By the way, I noticed that at the debate, the moderators did not refer to you as Senator Feingold. This is Mr. Feingold, but Senator Johnson did refer to you as Senator Feingold. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I've been Russ for 63 years. I was a senator, a state senator, a United States senator. Now I'm not one. I don't care what people call me.
Well, we will refer to you by your title, perhaps future title, as Senator Feingold. Really appreciate it. And Lashana Tova, Happy New Year. Did you fast?
Lashana Tova, and thank you very much for having me on the show. It was enjoyable.
Did you fast for Yom Kippur?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you do the fast thing, and then where'd you break the fast?
At the house, in Middleton.
Little lox and bagels.
We have that. A state secret.
All right. Well, safe travels on the campaign. Really appreciate your time. There he goes, Senator Russ Feingold on WRJN. This is Glenn Klein. It's 8 minutes until 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Monday Morning. WRJN's Cover Sports in 1 minute.
We're here with your local DuPont Pioneer team to ask how growers can up their game on soybean yields and weed control.